Hey, audit friends and family, listen, they say honesty is the best policy, but if it really is, why do we often punish the innocent and the honest? Oh, and by the way, our new standards say that we must exercise courage and honesty. So are we ready to have an honest discussion about why auditors must advocate for honesty? Because that's what we're going to talk about today. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome to Audit Bites, the podcast that helps auditors become awesome. Join us for bite-sized info and education to excel in your auditing career.
All right. Welcome to episode number 60 of Audit Bites. You've seen the title. Auditors must advocate for honesty. Auditors must advocate for honesty. And since I have you here, I've got a question for you. I mean, well, it really wouldn't be the Audit Bite show if I didn't have a question for you. And the question is, have you ever been in trouble for being honest? Have you ever been in trouble for being honest? Now, this is both as a person and or as an auditor. Have you ever been honest in a situation and it's gotten you into deep trouble? Because it's happened to a lot of our audit colleagues. It's happened to a lot of our audit colleagues. But as I just said, our new standards require honesty. As a matter of fact, standard 1.1 says honesty and professional courage is the title of it. And the requirement is internal auditors must perform their work with honesty and professional courage. But what does that really mean? Because oftentimes the honest get in trouble. Oftentimes the honest are punished. And so now, if this is a requirement of our profession, how do we try to maintain honesty, courage, and integrity without being punished for it? My man Clarence is here today from Baltimore. Good to see you, Clarence, as always. Now, Jay says, have you seen those hilarious honest trailers on YouTube? We could have a lot of fun writing humorous, honest findings. I might do a contest. Jay, I have seen them, and I'm gonna tell you, I almost used them as my examples to poke fun for today's episode, but then I thought about it and I said, no, I'm going to take a more serious turn today. So back to my question, have you ever been punished for being honest? Now, this, my friends, is an episode that you're going to want to stick around for because we have quite a few talking points that are going to walk us through what it means to be honest, the benefits of being honest, but also the detriments, but then also how to spot when people are being dishonest. Those warning signs. So this is going to be an action-packed episode, but listen, here's my next question for you all. Imagine if someone close to you has done something illegal and then they tell you about it. What would you do? What would you do? Now, my friends over on LinkedIn, Clarence, I notice you bounce between LinkedIn and YouTube. Sometimes LinkedIn acts up. And if you are on the app, you might need to update it if it won't let you send comments. I get all these emails afterwards. I tried to comment and it wouldn't let me. You probably need to update the app, but here's another option. If the app does not work for you, go over to our YouTube channel. I just dropped the channel into the chat and you can go over to it as well. But back to my question, what if someone that was near and dear to you told you that they were doing something illegal or that they had done something illegal? What would you do? Would you tell or would you conceal it? Now, Marsha is saying, just watching the trial of President Trump, if he's honest, he'd still be on trial and in trouble. Ah, great. Clarence says LinkedIn is working today. Awesome. Now, Jay says, I've been in that position. I give them the opportunity to confess and own up, but if they did not, then he would report them. I think most of us would like to think that we would report them, and most of us probably would, especially those of us in our profession. But the honest person oftentimes has horrible consequences, and I think that auditors need to understand that. So you're probably wondering, what do I mean by that? The honest person often has consequences. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you a story that is very recent about someone who was honest and got into a boatload of trouble. And if you've not seen the story, you can look it up, but I'm going to show you the link from Fortune. In December of 2022, a gentleman secretly listened to his wife's private conversations, and she worked for BP, you know, the oil company. BP was in talks to acquire travel centers. You see, this was during the pandemic. Husband and wife were working remote, and they were in an Airbnb in Rome, Italy. This is according to the SEC's civil complaint. The SEC said that the wife actually acknowledged that they occasionally discussed business in their normal married couple types of conversations. But over the next few months, the husband, without telling his wife, bought shares of travel centers. Now, in order to buy those shares, he had insider knowledge because he knew that BP was about to buy them out. So here's the situation. Husband and wife working side by side during the pandemic. They work for different companies. The husband overhears her talking about an acquisition that's about to happen. He goes and buys stock of the company that's about to be acquired. And when that acquisition occurred, he cashed in that stock. It's estimated that he made about $2 million on the acquisition. He claims that he did it because his wife was working so hard and he didn't want her to have to work so hard. And he felt like that money would actually be able to benefit the family. He confessed to his wife what he had done. She immediately told her supervisors at work. She immediately told her supervisors at work. What do you think happened after she told her supervisors, when she came clean and was honest about something that her husband had done? And by all practical accounts, what we know now is that this was all unbeknownst to her. So now that's the scenario. So now tell me, auditors, what do you think happened to her and to him? And what do you think should have happened to her and to him? And while I give you guys the opportunity to answer that question, you all know that audit guy, that's me. I'm a trainer specializing in soft skills for internal auditors. But I can train you on almost anything. I have an extensive course catalog, and I'm going to drop a link to that course catalog into the chat. If you want to take a look at many of my courses, there's my course catalog. Right now, it has about 26 courses listed. I have about 50. I haven't finished updating my website just yet, but I say that to say, your IIA chapters, they have events. Why don't you invite me? Your company, your auditors need to be trained, and you need quality training. If you like the style in this podcast where we bring in current events, we bring in some psychological principles, we tie that to internal auditing, then you'll love me live. There's the course catalog. I just dropped it into the chat. I see some answers rolling in, but while those other answers roll in, I'm going to ask you to do me one more favor. If you listen to me on Apple, go over to the Apple Podcast Store. Give us a 5-star review. All right. So let's get back to our friends here. Marsha says divorce. Marsha, Okay, I'm going to hold off before I tell you whether or not she did divorce or no. Now, Julie, I don't think I've ever seen you here before, Julie. So if you are a new person here, welcome. If you've been silently listening, glad that you've raised your voice. If you like this podcast, send it to your friends. Now, Julie says that she was fired. Okay. Clarence says that she was fired as well. All right. Oh, now Julie also adds, and charges pressed. Against who though, Julie? The husband or the wife or both? Charges pressed. Okay. Now, Jay is saying she violated the principle of confidentiality. She was likely reprimanded, if not fired. Ooh, okay. Man, I love you guys. So let me just say, I want to thank you all who tune in each week. And then when I upload it to the podcasting platforms, we have an audience all over the world. But I think there's nothing like the live experience because, frankly, I don't know everything. I'm just a guy who has an opinion who's brave enough to express that opinion. But when you all add context and flavor, we all learn together. And that's why this is so enjoyable for me. Okay, so Julie responded and Julie said, charges pressed against the husband. Okay. So my friends, here's what happened. Indeed, charges were pressed against the husband. He's in a boatload of trouble. And the wife was actually terminated from her position. And she indeed, Marcia, filed for divorce. And she did it fairly quickly as well. She filed fairly quickly. So what do you all think? Should she have been terminated? Now, Jay does bring up a really good point. She violated confidentiality. But in context, this was during COVID. Everybody was forced to work from home in conditions that may not have been ideal. But also, if you think about the law as well, there is a certain privilege that spouses get where you can't testify in court against your spouse. So there is a spousal privilege there. So how does that weigh into your thought process, Jay? So Jay, let me go back to Jay's comment because it was really good. Jay said she violated the principle of confidentiality. She was likely reprimanded, if not fired. Now, also, let me mention, she wasn't an auditor in the organization, Jay. She was a part of, the acquisitions group. So that's why she had insider knowledge that BP was about to acquire Travel Center. So now, for those of you who are just joining, our topic for today is auditors must advocate for honesty. We're talking about a story where a husband eavesdropped on his wife's conversation about an acquisition that was about to happen at work. He then bought stock in the company that was to be acquired and obviously made a bunch of money when the acquisition occurred. He confessed to his wife. His wife turned him in, told her managers what had happened. The husband is in trouble, legal trouble, obviously. The wife then filed for divorce. However, for her honesty, she was actually terminated from her role. And so what we're wondering is this fair? Is this a case of honest people being punished? Now, how that relates to internal auditors, well, we oftentimes disclose bad news to clients, and oftentimes they do what's called shooting the messenger. So today, what we're talking about, the honest are often punished. And so what we're going to talk about is the need to protect honest auditors. Our standards have been updated, and now our standards require courage and honesty. Now, with that requirement, we as audit leaders need to make sure that measures are in place to protect our people that are being honest. So on our agenda for today, I have three things I really want to talk about. We're going to talk about first, the benefits of honesty. First, the benefits of honesty. Second, the downside of honesty. There can be a downside, especially if you're an auditor. And then we're going to talk about how to identify the enemies of honesty. Folks, today's episode is going to be a little bit longer than normal, I think. We'll see once we get into it. But those are the three things that we're going to cover today. And first up, the benefits of being honest, specifically for internal auditors. And Marsha, I'm right there with you. Marsha says that's unfortunate for an honest employee who fessed up to be terminated. But how many of you know it happens to auditors all the time? If you listen to past episodes of this show, we had an audit director at a university in Washington State, I believe it was, who kept bringing up various issues and was eventually terminated. And then the person that succeeded him was also terminated. We also had the case in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where the auditor for the city of Fort Lauderdale was fired. And this one was so bad that the IIA wrote a letter defending him on his behalf. And I don't know if you all remember that one, but that one was extremely egregious because their audit committee meetings are public record. And you can go to YouTube and find the audit committee meeting where they actually terminated this audit director. Now, to give a little context, he was investigating the chief legal counsel or one of the lawyers for the city. No, I'm sorry. It was the chief of police. He was investigating the chief of police. They said he shouldn't have been doing the investigation. However, shortly after he was terminated, they brought in outside personnel to investigate that very same chief of police and found out that he, in fact, was doing some of the things that the chief auditor accused him of. So, and Clarence is saying, many will say it's not good to tell the truth. Sad but true. Well, the truth has consequences. Let's just say that, right? So benefits of being honest for internal auditors. I'm going to give you eight benefits. I'm going to give you eight benefits of being honest. The first is that it builds trust and respect. You see, when internal auditors prioritize honesty in their interactions with audit clients and stakeholders, we can build trust and respect. It enhances our credibility of the findings and recommendations that we have. You know, it's real funny with this one because I remember the first time I had a client say something that really hurt my feelings deeply because I liked him and we had a decent relationship. But he looked at me and he said, we had just wrapped up a really, really, really bad audit engagement. Like, a lot of things go wrong. And he looks over at the table and he says, Robert, I really hate what you do. And it was like a knife to the heart. And I think he saw the look on my face because it was this pained look. And because I really liked him and respected him, and he saw that look on my face, he looked at me and he said, no, wait. It's not what you think. And I'm thinking, you just said you hate what I do. Like, this is what I went to school for. This is what I spend my time on. This is my passion. Like, what do you mean? I didn't say that, but my look probably said it because he said, I don't like what you do, but I really like how you do it. And so after my hurt feelings recovered, I went on later to ask him, what did he mean by that? And he told me that I was honest with him at all times, but I was very respectful. And I didn't understand what he really meant because I think you can be honest and respectful to people. You don't have to be mean. Like people say, I was just brutally honest. Really? Like, why do you have to be brutal with it? That means that you have some hatred in your heart that you're trying to get out to some other person. You can be honest and direct without putting that brutal piece to it. Just the fact that you choose that adjective means that there's probably something wrong with you as an individual. So people may not like you, but it does build a respect for you. And for us, while it's great to be liked, if I had to choose between respect and being liked, I'd choose respect any day. Now, granted, I would love for you to like me too, but if I have to choose between respect and like, I choose respect. So the first benefit is that it builds trust and respect. The second benefit is that it fosters stronger relationships. Now think about this. We all have that one friend that we call whenever we want our ego stroked. We know that they aren't going to be honest with us at all. You know, think about it. You gained a little weight and you put on that suit that you used to wear that looked real nice on you. And you ask your friend, how does this suit look on me? And that friend says to you, you look like $1 million. Now, they didn't answer how that suit looks on you. They just said you look like $1 million. But then we also have that other friend that we call that we know. We know that friend is going to be real honest with us. They're not going to really hurt our feelings purposefully, but they're going to say, listen, you've gained a few pounds recently. You should probably think about getting that suit tailored or just buying a new one. That's the kind of relationship I want with people. People who are going to be honest in a loving way. So for auditors. Honest communication fosters stronger relationships between auditors and audit clients. It helps promote collaboration and cooperation, especially when we address issues and improving processes. You ever have a client that you thought hated your guts, but when things got really, really bad, they called you? They called you because of number one and number two, they respected you. And they also believe that you had a strong relationship. So those are two benefits for being honest for internal auditors. Now, our next one is clear communication. Listen, honest communication enables internal auditors to effectively convey issues, recommendations, concerns. It also facilitates clear and transparent communication throughout the audit process. Here's the thing. When you're communicating honestly, you don't have to lie. You don't have to make things up. And sometimes people are thrown off guard with how honest we as auditors can be, but it's because we're logical thinkers. But when you're honest in your communications are usually a lot clearer because you understand what needs to be said and you say it and you don't have to make anything up. Now, our fourth benefit, though, is it leads to personal growth. When you can be honest with yourself, you start to work on certain things that need improvement. For example, if we look now at our profession, more than ever, cybersecurity is important. Why aren't we studying that? I recommend this course all the time to people. Go to Coursera. Google has a cybersecurity certification. Coursera is about $50 a month. The course will take you about 3 months to complete, and now you have a Google certification in cybersecurity. As a matter of fact, when we look at many of the recent Deloitte surveys, we found that audit committee members, our stakeholders, their top concern is cybersecurity. When we're honest with ourselves and our profession, it leads to personal growth. I was doing a CAE roundtable recently, and I was talking to them about staffing shortages. They find it hard to find good audit personnel. And when I asked what they look for, many of them said CPAs. And I said, why? So we had a lengthy discussion where it came to them, the revelation came that we're relying too much on CPAs to fill the roles in our profession. Now that's going to be the title and the topic of another podcast coming up soon. I'm going to make some people mad with that one, but when you are honest with yourself, it leads to personal growth. The fifth reason is it reduces stress and guilt. Now, I was thinking about this one. I really need to reword it because it reduces stress due to guilt. You're going to have other types of stress because, well, like the young lady in the story we presented earlier, she was terminated for being honest. But at least you don't have that guilt for lying. Remember when you were a kid and you did something you weren't supposed to do and then your parents came over to you and they said, did you do this? And you lie and say no, and then you get this burning sensation in your chest. We all have that. That's stress. That's stress related to guilt. When you're honest, you don't have stress related to guilt, but you do have the other stressors that come from outside forces. Now, Marsha is saying, yep, she's doing the cybersecurity certification right now. I've been recommending it for a while, and I'm guessing maybe you took me up on that recommendation, Marsha. Now, here's what I want you to do for the other people that might be listening, though, Marsha. Tell them how easy it is. And when I say easy, I don't mean it's an easy course to do. What I mean is the way they designed it and constructed it, they do a really good job of knowledge transfer. You really get a good understanding of cybersecurity risk and then the things to do to mitigate the risk. It's a very good course. Very, very good course. So now, again, honesty for auditors, it reduces stress and guilt. Why? Living authentically and truthfully reduces stress and guilt associated with withholding information or compromising your integrity. It allows us auditors to focus on performing our duties with integrity and professionalism. So that's number five. Our sixth one, though, when we're honest, it just promotes an ethical culture. I'm not going to belabor this one. It just makes sense. When people can be honest, when the culture is honest at an organization, people work better together because we feel like we can better trust the person or the people that we're working with. Reason number seven is it enhances job satisfactions. Internal auditors who are able to operate with honesty and integrity derive greater job satisfaction from knowing that we are fulfilling our professional responsibilities ethically, and also we're making a positive impact within the organization. Now, I've said this before, and sometimes people laugh. Most of us get into this profession because we want to help. We don't get into this profession to finger point and to blame people. We don't get into this profession to blame other people for things that have happened that are bad. We get into it because we genuinely want to be a part of helping to make the organization better. And when we can do that, in other words, when we're not punished for being honest, it enhances our job satisfaction. Here's what I want to know for my friends listening. Let me know. Did you get into this profession to finger point and blame other people for stuff? Or did you get into this profession because you feel like what we do helps make the organization better? All right. Drop into the chat, finger point if that's you, or help if that's you. I just want to see where we all stand here, because I could be wrong, but I truly believe that most of us got into this profession because we believe that what we do helps make the organization better. Now, my man Abbas is over on YouTube. Abbas, good to see you, man. I saw your message. I'll respond to it after this podcast is over, my friend. We've got some stuff to talk about. So now Abbas was quick to answer. He said, well, he got into it to help and to also understand the holistic picture of the organization. Right. We got into this profession, most of us, because we want to help people. That is the reason that we got into it. And so often we are punished for honesty. Our new standards require us to be courageous and to be honest. So if you are in charge of an audit department, you need to make sure that you support your people when they are being courageous and honest. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later. But I'm going to pause for just one moment, because while I have you here, I'm going to ask you to do me this favor again. For those of you who've been with me from the beginning, you've heard me ask it, but I'm going to ask it again. If you've not subscribed to my YouTube channel, subscribe to my YouTube channel. I just dropped the link into the chat on LinkedIn. You don't have to do it right now because you're watching and listening, but do subscribe to the YouTube channel. Now, let's get to reason number eight, the benefit for being honest for internal auditors. Reason number eight is it builds a positive reputation. Internal auditors who consistently demonstrate honesty and integrity earn a positive reputation. Internal auditors who consistently demonstrate honesty and integrity earn a positive reputation. And here's the funny part about it. Your clients may not even tell you. When you're doing audit engagements, they may act like they hate you. But behind closed doors, people love an honest person. They love an honest person. Okay, so those are the eight benefits of honesty for internal auditors. But let's flip this on its head and let's talk about the dangers of being honest for internal auditors. Now, I asked earlier, have you ever gotten in trouble for being honest? Have you ever been put in a sticky situation as an auditor, maybe even not as an auditor, for being honest? And Jay said, yes, he has been. So for anybody else still listening, I'm going to ask you again, have you ever been placed in a sticky situation all because you were honest? I can tell you with 100% certainty that I have. Now, that's why I want to invite you guys to this month's audit support group. I don't have the link up yet, but I'll be putting it up on my website in the next hour or so. The audit support group is just where we meet once a month and we talk about all things audit. It's open and honest conversation where we share space with one another. This Friday, we have our next audit support group. If you would like to attend, email me or just give me an hour or two and I'll put the link up on my website. You'll see it under my calendar of events. So now, with that said, the dangers of being honest for internal auditors. I'm going to give you eight dangers of being honest. We're always told that honesty is the best policy, but honesty also comes with consequences. And the first one is the risk of retaliation or backlash. The risk of retaliation or backlash. Internal auditors who report sensitive or unfavorable issues may face some backlash from audit clients or from management, especially when they are resistant to change or accountability. I've had instances where I've had to turn in audit work to law enforcement. And oh boy, that didn't make certain people happy. I've faced instances where I've been asked to not include things on audit reports. And when I did anyway, that got me into some trouble. So you will face retaliation or backlash from being honest. The next thing that could happen is you will have strained relationships, especially if you're dealing with people who are trying to run from honest conversations. You see, honest communications about audit issues or concerns may strain your relationship between internal auditors and audit clients. This then leads to tension and resistance in collaborating on audit objectives. So while honesty may be the best policy, it comes with consequences. One consequence is retaliation or backlash. Another consequence is strained relationships. And we've seen it. One day, we're having decent conversations with the clients. It's as if we're collaborating constructively on audit engagements. And then something happens. And before you know it, that relationship becomes strained. They're no longer picking up the phone. They're no longer answering your emails, all because you've said something honest and they needed to run from it. So now a third, that still says benefits up top. I do apologize. This should be the detriments of honesty is what we're on now. The next one is professional isolation. Here's what's really interesting. Oftentimes when you have especially audit directors or chief audit executives who are let go from organizations for being honest, often they are blackballed. In other words, they can't find another job in that role because people talk. They're labeled as troublemakers, even though they were just truth tellers. We've seen it happen. I've talked to a few former chief audit executives in the last 3 months who are looking for work right now and can't find work. They were let go of jobs under some interesting conditions. And when you hear the full story, you'll see that they were trying to exercise honesty. So now our new requirement from our standards to be honest comes with consequences, which means we have to develop a good support system for one another. Internal auditors who prioritize honesty and integrity may feel isolated or marginalized within the organization if their colleagues or superiors or stakeholders do not share the same values, if they do not share the same commitment to ethical conduct, you will suffer professional isolation. My man Clarence is saying, I see it all the time. Yeah, professional isolation for simply telling the truth. Now, reason number four, I just talked about that. Career advancement challenges. Internal auditors who raise difficult issues or challenge the status quo with honesty may encounter obstacles in their career advancement. Some organizations may prefer to promote individuals who avoid controversy and conflict. Worse yet, if you are let go, you will have trouble finding another job. Does anyone remember Cynthia Cooper? If you've not read her book, it's an excellent book, but she's the chief audit executive, or was, of WorldCom, and her team worked fearlessly to uncover a fraud that was going on at WorldCom. Now, have you guys ever noticed? This happened, what, over 20 years ago now? Have you ever noticed she's never worked as an internal auditor ever since then? This was one of the biggest frauds at that time that had occurred. I don't remember how many billions of dollars it was. It also happened for the only Fortune 500 company at that time that was based in Mississippi. WorldCom was based in Jackson, Mississippi. So now imagine you are the chief audit executive who discloses a fraud that happens at the only Fortune 500 company based in your state. I've seen her do presentations about it where she said that her family received death threats from people in the community. She and her colleagues did the right thing. She and her colleagues disclosed a multi-billion dollar fraud, and for that, she received death threats and has never worked as an internal auditor again. For those of you who are just joining us, that top part should say the detriments of honesty for internal auditors. That is a typo, and I do apologize for that. Here are four of our eight detriments. You will be retaliated against. You will develop strained relationships. You will have professional isolation, and you will have career advancement challenges. Now, Marsha is saying that professional isolation is not professional, right? And she's saying it is very immature in an organization. It is 100% immature, but listen, I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast, but I say it a lot in my trainings that I do, both public and private. You can't expect adults to behave like quote unquote adults. Realistically, adults are just children with bigger bodies. And if you don't believe me, why do we oftentimes say in the professional workplace, this feels just like high school? Think about it. In high school, you have the nerds, the jocks, the loners, and the stoners, right? In the professional workplace, you still have the nerds, you have the jocks, you have the loners, and you have the stoners. So we still behave in some of the same ways that we do as children, even as adults. Now, Shree is over on YouTube and she says, that's sad. You're doing your job and you get thrown under the bus. You don't do your job and you get thrown under the bus. I'll take it a step further, though. Oftentimes, if you do play the game and you're not necessarily honest and forthcoming in reporting everything as an internal auditor, you actually do keep your job, because you're not rocking the boat. Now, when you start to disclose things, not only are you thrown under the bus, you are run over, and then they put the bus in reverse and do a backwards on you as well. So, Mati, you've had this experience before, I'm guessing, because he said, that's the toughest part. Professional isolation. I've experienced it too. Now, Mati, if you're just joining us and you missed the part about the audit support group that's happening Friday, email me and I'll send you the link. The audit support group, we meet up once a month and we have open and honest discussions about things that are bothering us. It is our support group. Marcia, right? I mean, it's true. We can't expect people to behave like adults. What is adult behavior? It's just the same behavior carried over from childhood. And Shri is saying Enron, Madoff, Elizabeth Holmes, where were the auditors? Well, I mean, you know, with Enron, we may not want to talk about that because some external auditors, external as opposed to us being internal, were actually complicit in what happened there. Oh, now that's a good question. Marcia is saying, so where does honesty start and where does it end? I mean, realistically, honesty starts with us as individuals coming together to form a collective honesty. So to better answer your question, the honesty starts with the culture. The culture starts with the tone at the top. If we have a good tone at the top, then that should permeate down. But having that good tone at the top means having an executive commitment to it, and then also having actions that back it up, meaning you support the people who are being honest while also punishing the people who do bad, which means that when you catch people doing something fraudulent, you address it. You don't sweep it under the rug if it is your friend. I'll give you a good example. I worked for one organization where we found that someone was doing something extremely dishonest and he cost them $1 million. They had to write off $1 million, literally had to write it off. I remember talking to the controller while she was making, the assistant controller, while she was making the adjusting entry. Most people were extremely upset. That person was allowed to retire with full benefits. After that, I had people in the organization coming up to me asking, how could we let this happen? How could we let someone cost the organization $1 million and still retire with full benefits? Now, in this same organization, someone else was negligent in his duty as a manager. He didn't directly steal anything, but he didn't supervise his employees appropriately. And they made off with probably less than $10,000 worth of items. But because this person wasn't in favor with the powers that be in the organization, he was terminated. So you see, it starts with the way we treat people. Now, I also need to mention in this situation, one person was at a director level and the other person was at a somewhat lower level within the organization. The person that was terminated was at the lower level, right? And wasn't friends with other individuals at the executive level. So the honesty starts with us individually being honest, and then collectively being honest, but it really starts with a good tone at the top. Shri is saying the audit support group is a great support group. It is. It very much so is. And Daniel, good to see you, man. I always like seeing you here. Daniel says, they always say, this is how we do things here. Join us or you are out. Wow. And Daniel put that in quotes. Did you actually hear somebody say that directly? Well, never mind. You put it in quotes. So yeah, you must have heard. That's horrible. But I'm with you. I've heard that before as well. Shri is saying, how do we sign up for the support group, Shri? The link is going to be on my website in about an hour after this episode. I ran out of time. Or you can email me directly. And if you email me directly, go to my website. You can find my contact form. If you email me directly, I will get that link to you as soon as possible. All right, let's go to number five. I am going to read that in a minute. Number five, the detriment, again, that says benefit, but it should say detriment. A detriment of honesty is legal or regulatory risk. Honest reporting of audit issues may expose internal auditors to legal or regulatory risk if the organization fails to address said identified risk. Because as Sri just jokingly said, whenever something happens, they're going to say, where were the auditors? And they're going to try and find an audit report where you actually disclosed it. And so we may face legal or regulatory risk. The next is we will face emotional distress. Being honest in the face of adversity is stressful. Being honest in the face of adversity is stressful. So confronting sensitive or challenging issues with honesty may cause emotional distress or discomfort for internal auditors, particularly if we face resistance, hostility, or criticism from audit clients or management. Now, Sri is saying that emotional distress can take a toll on you for sure. Absolutely. Emotional distress will take a toll on you. Now, Marsha is saying it is whistleblowing if you arrive honest, and is there protection for honest people? You know, here's what I find interesting. For publicly traded companies, they're required to have a whistleblower and non-retaliation policy under the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. Now, you're required to have a policy. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have procedures. But in the U.S., the federal government has recently, and I say recently, but it's been several years, started giving rewards to whistleblowers. And those rewards are usually a percentage of the amount that they are able to collect based on the whistleblowing that has occurred. Now, here's the thing. I get that a part of that is due to the fact that you want to encourage people to blow the whistle. But at the same time, these whistleblowers often lose their job, they lose their careers, and they need that money to survive on until they can somehow pivot into another role. Now, Sri is saying, I feel isolated professionally because I have not received my That Audit Guy mug. Does your support group help people that feel like me? No. I like the comic relief because this is a serious subject, because we're getting to number seven. Detriment of honesty is the perception of bias. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. Internal auditors who communicate audit issues with honesty may be perceived as biased, or worse yet, overly critical by audit clients and stakeholders, particularly if the issues are unfavorable or disruptive of existing practices. Now, what do I mean by that? Have you ever taken an issue to management and they said, you're just being nitpicky? Now, let's be honest. Sometimes we can be, and we need to stop doing that. But sometimes there are significant issues, and they start with the ad hominem arguments, the attacks on us personally. That's being done to try and quiet us. And so it's a perception of bias. You're out to get me. Let me tell you guys a story. Something that happened to me on one instance. I was working for one organization, and the employees were so sick of this one thing happening that they compiled all of the evidence and came and gave it to us, the Office of Internal Auditing. Now, isn't that interesting? We looked at the evidence and then we did some of our own test work to ensure that it was valid. And boy, it was. I took it to the management team and said, hey, here's a significant issue, and I'm being vague on purpose here. I said, hey, here's a significant issue. The management team looked at me and said, why do you hate us? Like, literally, this was a direct quote. Why do you hate us? And I said, wait, I don't hate you. Here's an issue. And the data backs it up. They then said, we don't trust your data, to which I said to them, you should not. You want to validate it? Because it came directly from your people. So they went on a tirade for about an hour telling me how bad of a person I was. I was simply the messenger. And the message actually came directly from their employees. Interesting, huh? Ooh, now Marsha is saying, so that employee that reported spouse, did she get a percentage of the $2 million he traded for stocks? Well, technically, I don't know. She wasn't a whistleblower, technically. However, this case is not over yet. So we'll see what ends up happening with it. This is, I don't think he's been sentenced yet for this. But this case is not over yet. The other thing, too, is she reported it to her company, not to the federal government. So I don't even know if that counts. So the answer to your question, Marsha, I don't know. Okay, so now our eighth detriment of being honest is a loss of job satisfaction. I said a few minutes ago that most of us got into this field because we wanted to help companies. So imagine if you really wanted to help, that's your goal and objective, and every time you turn around, you're not able to help. So internal auditors who encounter resistance or pushback when communicating honestly about potential issues may experience decreased job satisfaction and motivation because we feel discouraged or disillusioned about the lack of reception for our efforts. So listen, thus far, we've talked about the benefits of honesty for internal auditors. We've also talked about the detriments of honesty for internal auditors. So now let me know, do you want to hear now about the enemies of honesty? Do you want to hear about the enemies of honesty? Because listen, this episode, we're at 52 minutes, and usually I try to keep this between 30 and 45 minutes, but we're at the 50-minute mark. Should I make this a separate episode, or should I keep going and talk about the enemies of honesty for internal auditors? And those would be the red flags and the warning signs. I'm just curious, where do you guys want to go today? Let me know in the chat. Do you want to go forward, or do you want to make this a part two for the episode? You want to make this a part two. So while I'm giving you an opportunity to answer that question, let me just say that Audit Guy does training. We do training for companies, private training. We do training at IIA chapters. If you would like to have me at your chapter or at your organization, here's my course catalog. Right now, we have about 26 of our courses listed. We have about 50 courses. I've just got to update the website, right? If you have an audit staff of 8 or more people, it may be more budget friendly for you to bring me in to do training for your entire staff. We can actually get you up to 40 hours of training, and it's customized and personalized. So, look, Daniel says, keep going. And now my man Clarence is like, wait a minute, man. I got a meeting at 1:30. Make it a part two. So listen, Clarence. So right now, what is it? It's 1:10 for you. I think 20 minutes is about all we have left going here anyway. I think about 20 minutes is all we have left. But man, I only heard from Daniel and Clarence. Bummer. All right. I'm just messing with you all. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go forward. We're going to talk about the enemies of honesty for internal auditors. Daniel says, sorry, it's 7 p.m. for him on his side. Wait a minute, Daniel, where are you? I thought you were, I think that I'm thinking that you were somewhere else. So where are you, my friend? I'm thinking that you were somewhere else then, if it's 7 p.m. for you right now. So let's talk about the enemies of honesty. The enemies of honesty. The first enemy of honesty is defensiveness. So when you see your audit clients being defensive, something is wrong. That should be a red flag for you. Let's talk about this. When internal auditors point out issues in the client's processes and the client responds defensively, blaming the auditors, that's a red flag. When you see that lack of ownership, something is wrong. Now, I'm not saying that they're committing fraud or stealing, because there are a plethora of reasons why they get defensive. Sometimes it's just the unknown. They hate surprises. Sometimes they could be complicit in something that is happening, but defensiveness is an enemy of honesty. You will never have an open and honest conversation if you are defensive or if your client is defensive. So these work both ways. When you see them in yourself as an auditor, or when you see them in your audit clients. So Daniel's saying, oh, you're in South Africa. I don't know why I thought you were in the UK. Even so, let's see, it's still, anyway. I don't know why I thought you were in the UK. And then Julie says, okay, she's flexible. Good, Julie, because we are moving along. Now remember, the enemies of honesty, these are things, and there's 10 of them, that affect both the auditor as well as the audit client, right? So defensiveness is your first enemy. Your second enemy is avoidance. So as an auditor, when you start to avoid things, or when your audit clients start to avoid things, you end up missing out on the honest conversation that needs to be had. Avoidance. Think about this. When the audit client consistently reschedules meetings with the internal auditor, especially when you're trying to discuss some potential issues, they tell you, oh, I have a busy schedule, or I have pressing deadlines. Now, while that might be true, if that goes on for entirely too long, it is an enemy of honesty, because you are avoiding having the honest conversation. The same thing for us as auditors. When a client says, hey, I want to talk to you about these items, and we keep avoiding it, it is the enemy of an honest conversation. Now, your next enemy is selective listening. We all have selective listening, right? We all do. Some of us are better at it than others, but picture for us auditors, during the exit meeting, the client only focuses on the areas where they've received positive feedback or commendation, ignoring or dismissing sections of the report that highlight significant issues. That is selective listening, and it is the enemy of honesty. Now, the opposite is true for us auditors. If we are only always focusing on the bad, and we never highlight commendable practices within the processes that we audit, we are not having honest conversations with ourselves. So selective listening is the enemy of honesty. The fourth thing is blame shifting. Oh, we've seen this one before, right? Some of us have done it, and some of us are masters at it. From an audit standpoint, think about in response to audit issues regarding some discrepancies where the client blame shifts on another department or even another organization, right? A third party provider. Whew. Rather than acknowledging their part in it, they start to blame shift. Or for us as auditors, we do it too. When we audit areas that we may not be knowledgeable enough to audit, we didn't think so going in. And instead of acknowledging that we had that lack of knowledge and maybe brushing up our skills or maybe asking to be pulled off of that audit engagement, we say, well, I just followed last year's work papers. Or we blame our manager. Well, we're short-staffed and my manager would never pull me off of this engagement. Blame shifting is the enemy of honesty. The fifth one is emotional reactivity. Now, I could have just said reacting emotionally. That would have worked better, huh? We've seen it in our clients, though. Upon receiving the preliminary audit report, they become visibly upset and confrontational. They express anger and frustration at the perceived criticism on their department's performance. When they react emotionally, it is the enemy of honesty. We cannot have honest conversations with emotional people. When we see our clients get emotional, that's the time we probably should cut the conversation short, because anything that happens afterwards is typically a downhill spiral. It's like trying to communicate with a kid that needs an afternoon nap and they are in strict denial. You've seen it. I'm not sleepy. And then they start kicking and screaming. Now, conversely, when we as auditors act out of character and we get emotional, we are missing out on honest conversations with our audit clients. But hang on tight, friends. That's just five of our enemies of honesty. We've got five more to go. But while I have you here, I want to ask you all to do me a favor. If you listen to me on Apple, Spotify, or wherever, go over to your favorite podcasting platform and leave us a five-star review. I think we're worth it. I just left links to both Apple and Spotify in the chat on LinkedIn. And if you're listening on those podcasting platforms, while you're there downloading the episode, just go ahead and click that five-star. Now, I'm halfway kidding. Leave an honest review. What do you think about the podcast? Let others know. Let others know what you think about the podcast. To date, I still think that this is the only live podcast where we talk about auditing. I don't think there's another one that's live, right? There are a few great audit podcasts, but I think this is the only one. Maybe I'm the only person that's brave enough to actually do it live and face an audience, right? All right, so our sixth enemy of honesty is gaslighting. Think about when we present information to audit clients, and it's something that's fairly significant. And they downplay the significance of it. They tell us, this is something minor. You should look elsewhere. This is not a significant issue. Gaslighting is the enemy of honesty, and oftentimes people do it because they can't handle the truth. Sometimes it's subconscious, and sometimes it's very malicious. Some people are the masters of gaslighting. And if you've ever experienced it, it is a horrible thing to experience. These people will have you thinking that you are actually crazy. They will have you thinking that you are insane and that you have no idea what you're talking about. As you're sitting here looking at the facts in front of your face, you will start to deny facts initially. Gaslighting is the enemy of honesty. Now, if you work in an organization where they condone a lot of dishonesty, a pattern of dishonesty, obviously, is the enemy of honesty. And think about it. This is when your audit client has a history of providing inaccurate or misleading information. They've done it during previous audits. They're doing it in the current audit. When you see that, just realize you have a hostile environment. You have a hostile client. This is the enemy of honesty, and everything that you do afterwards needs to be done with more rigor and vigor than everything previous. The next enemy of honesty is a lack of empathy. Now, this one is extremely important because when you think about it, when our clients demonstrate a lack of empathy towards the concerns raised by the auditors regarding potential fraud risk, or if they dismiss them as unfounded or trivial, this lack of empathy leads to not getting down to the actual truth. But on the flip side, for us as auditors, when we are auditing processes and we are not empathetic towards our client's plight, it's an enemy of honest conversation. And you're probably wondering, well, what do I mean by that? I remember being in a situation where we were doing an audit that kind of turned into an investigation. I had one staff member that was certain that the person in charge of the department knew everything that was happening and was complicit in it. I actually had to shift this person away from the assignment because they lacked empathy, which also caused them to be very judgmental and biased. In the end, what ended up happening was the manager was actually unaware, and the manager was trying to do her best to understand what was happening. And when the next auditor that I put on the engagement came in, because that auditor was more empathetic, they were able to work better with the client to figure out what was actually happening. And it was one of those weird things where a lot of the evidence pointed to the manager, but the manager was extremely innocent in everything that was happening. But our lack of empathy really was a roadblock to us performing the audit engagement. So now, let's go to number 9. Rigidity. Yes, we should have audit policies, audit procedures, and audit processes. But the same way we tell our clients, the thing that you did yesterday may not work today, this same concept applies to us. So on one hand, when the client is unwilling to consider alternative processes and procedures, they're not getting down to honest controls and risk. And for us as auditors, when we are unwilling to change the way we audit, this is an enemy of honesty. And I can give you several really good examples. When I first started an audit, there was really no such thing as IT auditors per se. IT auditors were people that we kept chained in the basement, and we only brought them out when we were looking at something really, really technical. Now, on the flip side, if you don't know a little bit about information technology, risk controls, and concepts, you can kiss your career goodbye in a few years as an auditor. I'll take it a step further. If you don't have a somewhat of an understanding of cybersecurity principles and concepts, artificial intelligence concepts, you're probably going to be able to kiss your career goodbye. So being too rigid is the enemy of honesty. And number 10, when you have difficulty accepting feedback. We've all been there with certain clients. No matter how much documentation you put in front of them, no matter how many facts, data, and statistics you put in front of them, they can't accept the feedback. I've experienced the same thing with auditors in the reverse. I've seen auditors who have just wanted to, quote unquote, stick it to clients so bad, even when they were told, look, this is not the way we audit. You need to give up this witch hunt. Their difficulty in accepting feedback was an enemy of honesty. So listen, this is episode number 60 of Audit Bites. Auditors must advocate for honesty. As a matter of fact, Standard number 1.1 in the newly released internal auditing standards require us to be courageous and honest. But that honesty can also have consequences. So what that means is we need to have a supportive environment set up for us so that we can encourage one another to be honest, but also support one another in honesty. Being honest has definite benefits. If you're just joining us, we talked about 8 of those benefits earlier. Go back and listen to the episode. Being honest also has detriments. We talked about 8 of those. Again, go back and listen to the episode. We also talked about the enemies of honesty. These are those little red flags you might see waving that might be an indicator that you're missing out on honest interactions and honest conversations. We talked about 10 of those. So go back and listen to the episode. My friends, I want to thank you for joining me on this episode of Audit Bites. If you liked it, tell all your friends. We're available on Apple Podcasts. We're available on YouTube. We're on Spotify. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, we are available. Help us spread the word. And Clarence, how was that on time, man? Your meeting starts in about 4 minutes. Look at there. Thank you for joining me. Stay tuned for the next episode.
Thank you for watching this episode of Audit Bites. If you receive value from this podcast, do us a favor. First, tell other auditors. Second, give us a 5-star review. And finally, talk to Robert about training your auditors. Our contact information is on our website, www.thatauditguy.com. It's also where you will find our course catalog, on-demand courses, a kick-butt blog, other podcasts, Robert's best-selling books, and last but not least, audit merch. That's right, we have audit hats, shirts, mugs, and more. Thanks for watching and listening. See you next episode.